Earlier this week, the news was that voluntary euthanasia advocate Dr. Philip Nitschke had agreed to no longer provide advice on suicide and euthanasia. That was in order for him to be allowed to continue his work as a doctor and a medical practitioner. The Medical Board of Australia imposed 25 conditions on Philip Nitschke, including a ban on providing the suicide drug Nembutal and an agreement that he no longer be involved in any workshops or online forums advocating suicide methods. It's another chapter in the argument we have here in this country over voluntary euthanasia. Over the past two decades, there have been more than 16 unsuccessful state or federal attempts to create a law to allow voluntary assisted death. Yet polls show overwhelming support for laws like this. It's a subject close to the heart of comedian and broadcaster Andrew Denton. He's been travelling the world this year, visiting countries that allow voluntary euthanasia, listening to the pros and cons. And tonight, he's going to present his findings at the annual Die Gribble argument in Melbourne. Andrew, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
Andrew, why did you pick this issue? Why is this issue important to you?
About 18 years ago, I watched my own father, as a story I think too many Australians have. I watched him die in pain, and what pain relief he was given certainly wasn't sufficient. So that started me questioning why that was happening. Then a few years ago, I read an article by an Australian writer called Margareta Poss, which described her father's death under euthanasia laws in the Netherlands, which was peaceful and humane and civilised. And I thought, why can't we have that here?
So this, presenting the Die Gribble argument, was that the impetus for you to spend the year travelling around?
Yeah, I put up my hand to do the argument last year, and I thought, if I'm going to do this, if I'm going to look into this issue, I'm going to do it seriously. So I've spent the last 8 months speaking to people on all sides of this debate and looking very, very closely, not just at the arguments for, but at the arguments against.
And in the, you travelled a lot, didn't you? You went to Amsterdam, Brussels, Portland, Oregon.
That's right. Probably the three key places where these laws happen.
And in those places, you looked at how it's operating, I guess. Did you speak to only those who were involved in it, or did you get the against arguments there as well?
Well, where I actually started was in Adelaide, where I was very fortunate. There was a big, first time in Australia, convention of anti-euthanasia people from all around the world. Mm-hmm. So I started armed with their arguments and really took their arguments to these other places to see where the truth lay. What I came away with was a strong sense that the arguments of those against mostly are distortions that fly in the face of the facts. What I found in the Netherlands and Belgium and Oregon were very well thought through systems with genuine safeguards, and the greatest proof that they work is that enormous numbers of people across the political spectrum and across all medical bodies support the laws, but only a tiny number of people use them.
Well, that's it, isn't it? Because let's go to some of the key arguments. The first argument is that, you know, people abuse these laws, and they and people are vulnerable because of abuse of others, basically.
Yes,
did you find that?
No, and in fact, the key thing I was told over and over again, and you'll hear it whenever you hear the arguments against, this casually thrown out, the elderly and the disabled are being made vulnerable. And I particularly explored that. And in these three countries, not only did I not find any evidence of that within the system, but I did something I don't think anyone's done before. I went outside the system and spoke to the representatives of the peak groups for disabled and elderly people in Belgium, the Netherlands and Oregon, and I put to them every single one of the warnings I've been given about how their members were being abused to see if they were true. And they were emphatic and universal in saying, no, 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 there is no record of abuse. We have
none at all.
None at all. And all, I came away with just the very clear picture that putting the elderly and the disabled at the front of this argument is cynical politics.
It's 4 minutes to seven. Our guest is Andrew Denton. He's presenting tonight in Melbourne the annual Die Gribble argument at the Wheeler Centre. What about the opposite of that? Are people abusing it? The question, are people choosing it, Andrew, in these places where it is an option?
Well, that's very interesting. An Oregon doctor called Peter Regan, when asked, how come so few people in Oregon use the law, and in that place it's less than half of 1% of all people who die, he had a great response. He said, I can't imagine why there'd be an avalanche for this anywhere. It turns out people just don't want to die. And that's one of the things I found. I've spent a lot of time with people who are dying and their families, and you'd be amazed, well, you probably wouldn't, Fran, at how people cling to life. And I think the core of what I believe a law should be, and the the core of why these laws work overseas is they are voluntary. They are voluntary. You make the choice. And, you know, it is often presented as though somebody's going to kill you. You are going to be killed. No, it is your choice. And that's what I'm arguing for, that at the end of our life, we should have a choice, just as doctors should have the right to opt out of being part of that choice if they don't want to be part of it.
I am a bit surprised. I mean, the will to live is strong, of course, and we see that, you know, all the time. But I guess I did think that, because there is a lot of pain sometimes, accompanies some deaths, I thought people would choose it more once they felt that the system was safe.
Well, it's interesting. First of all, some people don't want to do that because it's not their moral view. And that's of course acceptable, that only God giveth and God taketh away the hours. Fascinatingly, and I didn't expect to find this, in Oregon, and this is also reflected in the Netherlands, 30% of people who get the medication, which they have to take themselves, choose not to take it. And what they've discovered is the simple fact of having the choice, having the availability of the choice, is palliation in itself. It removes so much fear. It enables people to face up to their dying days with a sense of control. And the number one thing they found, the number one reason people wish to have this medication, is not pain. It's actually to do with control and to do with a sense of dignity that goes with that.
Andrew, thank you very much for joining us. It'll be interesting to see whether this argument you lay out tonight, and I think you're doing a whole series of podcasts on this too, what impact that has on the debate here, because, of course, in this country, although the polls keep telling us the people want it, the politicians certainly don't. Thanks so much, Andrew. Good luck tonight.
Thanks, Fran.
Andrew Denton presenting tonight's annual Die Gribble argument at the Wheeler Centre in Melbourne.